Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk Call-In Radio Show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
And welcome to Where's a Wonder Dog with Janice Wolf. It is another glorious Friday here, and we wish everybody a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you all had your fill of turkey, and those of you who are vegetarian, well, we hope that you had your delightful veggie turkey. So, we have one of our most requested guests here with us tonight, from California, and we are going to be talking with her so she can run off and go save more dogs and help more people to understand how to keep their animals safe during this holiday season. Janae Bowen from Dog E911, thank you and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me, Janice.
Well, we have some great things. I know everybody wants to know how much turkey is too much turkey. Can I give my dog the bones? And all kinds of other questions that we are going to hopefully have Janae giving us some answers to. Also, we'll have her on before Christmas to give us information about what not to give our dogs. Janae, what kind of holiday tips do you have for us for the loved dog?
Well, this time of year, I mean, there's, you know, a couple things I think to keep in mind. There are certain things that are poisonous to animals, and so people need to be aware of those things so that they're careful. I mean, a lot of people are bringing in things like poinsettias into the house because they're beautiful and they are, you know, obviously they celebrate the holiday spirit. But those plants are very poisonous to our pets. So we want to make sure that, you know, if we do have those types of plants, we want to keep them up out of their reach so they can't get to them and obviously eat any of the leaves. Those can be dangerous. Mistletoe is another thing that is dangerous. So we want to make sure if we obviously are putting out any mistletoe or hanging any of the mistletoe, we want to make sure that they're not getting any of those berries and things as well. And then different foods that we're serving this time of year, you know, be careful as well. I mean, turkeys and things, obviously it's a meat and animals, you know, obviously are carnivores and they do eat meat. But you have to be careful with the turkeys because of the tryptophan in the turkey. We don't want to give them too much of that. We don't want to make them sick. It makes us sleepy, we know, after we eat turkey. So it does the same thing on the animals, and their stomachs are different than ours. They are smaller than ours, so you have to be very, very careful with that. And you know, basically, it's just not necessary to. It's not really a good idea to give them the turkey, or if you do, very, very small amount. And then just any other foods that you're serving that have a lot of salt in them or a lot of sugars in them. Those are also things that are not good for our animals, the salts and the sugars. It's just not good for their systems. Their systems digest things differently than ours. So those are other things that be very, very careful of when you're, you know, feeding your animal anything, table food at all, which, you know, basically that's the point of why you want to make sure to give them their own goodies and their own special things. You can make something special for them and make things that they can have. I mean, I just had a doggy party just recently, and I baked a special cake, minus a people cake for people, and had the special pumpkin cake for the dogs. Pumpkin is a wonderful source of fiber, and it's wonderful for their digestion. So, you know, you can make something special for them as well.
Awesome. I know I've heard about the turkey with the L-tryptophan in it, and I've actually had a couple of clients who had hyper dogs, a couple of golden doodle clients especially, who said, well, if it makes my dog sleepy, that's a good thing. But it doesn't necessarily work the same way in a dog's body as it does in a human body. And that's, even between dogs and cats, there are medications that if you give a cat medication to a dog or vice versa, you can make that animal very sick or even kill it. It is very important to listen to what Janae is telling you. There are also, I know Chinese evergreens are toxic. There are a lot of different plants that are very toxic to dogs. And perhaps Janae can give us a list of those, and we can put them on our website.
I would love to do that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I've got a list of poisonous foods and plants, and it has some of all the things that obviously would be more prone to the holiday time. And I'd be happy to do that for your listeners, because it is very important to know these things, and not everyone does know. And the other thing that, you know, this time of year is getting colder for our pets. And so we need to make sure that, you know, we remember that for them, that yes, they do have coats. Not all of them have, as thick a coats as other animals, but it's really important to make sure we bring them inside. We keep them warm. If they are outside animals, we make sure to, set that up for them so that they will have, be okay with the temperature changes. And then you want to just, keep an eye on the things with them for the hypothermia and for the frostbite issues, because the temperatures are changing. And obviously different parts of the country affect differently. I'm in California and, you're in New Jersey, so obviously it's going to be different temperature changes, but it's something, again, to be aware of because of the time of year and the changes.
Absolutely. And we are getting hit in New Jersey with some kind of untypically cold weather, but, the dogs, even if they, like the Rhodesian Ridgeback, they're not great outside because, unfortunately, they don't have a lot of hair. But, if you put an appropriate, blanket or heating pads, things like that, and if they choose to hang out, that's fine. I know we put pretty expensive blankets on our Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and we let them go out and play, and there they are running around in the snow with shredded blankets because they were getting warmed up. And the main thing is to keep them, keep them out of the cold, keep them out of the wind, so they don't get wet, because if they get wet, that's really a problem. And Janae, a little trick I've done is I give them, in the winter, I give them some organic brown rice with some rotisserie chicken, so they're actually able to, kind of warm themselves up. They have a little higher fat content.
Right.
So is that something that would be good as well?
You definitely can. And animals will, they shed their coats, they shed their winter coats, their summer coats, they do those things. So, and they will bulk up in the wintertime. So it's important. You can do those things to kind of help the animals, especially the ones that are the outdoor animals. And so there are little things that you can do. There are little tips that you can do and things that you can do to, kind of help them. And again, the blankets and the coats and the different things that you can do to make them better, or adding hay to, to the bedding or something, just to help kind of maybe keep that heat in for those animals. So there's a lot of different things that you can do as tip-wise. And I'm happy to put, anything up for your listeners to kind of give them some more ideas. I think the two things about the stuff that we just already hit on with the heat or with the hypothermia and with the poisoning is kind of knowing, what to do and what not to do, but then also knowing the signs of things of these, because if you know the signs and symptoms of stuff, you can catch stuff early on. That's the biggest thing with what I try to teach is catching things so that they don't have a problem. And, obviously you can work with your vet to basically help your animal in the event of any type of an emergency.
Right. Well, that's all the amazing news and amazing information, and we're going to hope that you can stay with us on our second segment today. I know you've got things to do later on, but real quickly, it's doge911.com, is it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Doge911.com. Make sure you check Janae out and stay tuned for the next segment of For the Love of Dogs.
Oh. When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. And today's awesome guest is Janae Bowen from DogE911.com. And Janae is telling us about how to keep our pets safe with the upcoming cold weather and also the holidays, holiday foods, holiday plants. And I know that a few macadamia nuts can cause 24-hour temporary paralysis of a dog. I bet you didn't know that before. I bet Janae did, though. So we got to be careful with our pets, Janae. So what are some of the signs of poisoning, hypothermia, and some of the things that we were discussing last segment?
Yeah, and I mean, and like I said, that is good. There's so many different things, and that's why I think the list is good to know. And just to have it, I even take people, you know, make copies of the list and just put them up on their fridge. That way, you know, because they're not going to remember all the little things, but that way it's right there when they look at their fridge and they say, oh, my gosh, okay, I can't give them that. I can't give them that. So good, very good point, and it's so, so important because, again, there is a lot of stuff that we may not think of because we eat it, but it is not safe to give our pets. So first thing I think, is the signs of poisoning. I think that's important to know, and this part of what I talk about in my program because I want people to be able to identify the signs. Because if you can catch it early on, you can possibly save the animal's life. So signs of poisoning would be things like the pupils would be dilated on the eyes, the whites of the eyes would kind of be turning a reddish color, the animal could be drooling or even vomiting or having any diarrhea. There may even be ulcers inside the mouth, an ulcer inside the mouth if you kind of open up and look at the lips of the mouth. The animal could be having seizures, which I know we've talked about before, things to do with seizures. Or they may be even bleeding from a body cavity, and that could be the mouth, the anus, any of the body cavities could be having any bleeding. And then obviously a sign would be unconsciousness. The animal's unconscious. So with those signs, it could be all or just a couple of them. I think it's important to have a poison control number, and so for animals, because if you call 911, they will not be able to help you. So, I mean, I can give that number out, which I think is important to have, and just put it on your refrigerator.
Yeah, that is. And is that the one that they charge you like $45 for, or is this a free one?
I don't know exactly how much they charge, but I think there is a fee. But if you have a good connection with your vet and you have a vet that's on call, I think it's it's good to have that. I mean, I have a vet that, you know, is an on-call vet. But I, again, the thing with this is knowing the signs of it, and then obviously if it is something where you can induce the vomiting, that is great. If it is not, you need to obviously get that animal in immediately. If you can identify the poison substance, that's going to be always the best bet, because it's going to help your vet to be able to obviously, you know, counteract that poison. And, you know, if you do induce the vomiting, basically what that is it's 1 teaspoon of hydrogen peroxide per 10 pounds of body weight. So, you know, my dogs are between that 9 and 11 pound range because I have doxies, so they would only take 1 teaspoon. And you would use that to induce the vomiting of hydrogen peroxide. It does come on very quick. It is very violent vomiting, but it will get the object up. The only thing is with that is you do not want to induce vomiting on something that is sharp, because we don't want anything cutting as it comes back up. And anything that's petroleum-based or an acid or anything caustic, we don't want anything damaging that esophagus coming back up. So if that is the substance that you suspect, then you want to go ahead and, you know, not induce vomiting, get them to the vet so they can go ahead and counteract that poison. And then some animals don't throw up, like some pocket pets. Horses do not throw up, so you can't induce vomiting on them. A vet is going to have to go ahead and, you know, take care of the animal and go ahead and counteract that poisoning. So,
how about some of the signs of hypothermia? Because I know we were talking about that, and it's pretty cold here in New Jersey.
Yeah, it is. It's getting cold all over. I mean, it's even cold here in California today. It's not as cold as obviously probably New Jersey, but it's even cold here today. Signs of that would be pupils would be dilated. They would have pale or blue mucous membranes. And the mucous membranes are the inner lines of the eye, the gum lines of the animals. It's where it's moist. So you can kind of pull down the eyelid and look to see. Their eyelid should be a nice, healthy, like kind of a nice, healthy pink color. And if they're pale or blue, that's definitely a sign of hypothermia. You can look at the gum line. If they are, they should be a nice, healthy pink. Some dogs and animals have purple gums. That's normal. But if they're blue or pale color, that is a sign of hypothermia. And then their
How long does it take if somebody, let's say somebody has, you know, finds a dog, let's say, and the dog, let's say it's in pretty good weight, but they see that the dog looks like cold or shivering. Is that hypothermia?
If it's just shivering, well, that's why I think you have to check these other things, because you wanna look at the other things. You wanna go ahead and because just shivering could, you know, not necessarily mean that the animal's gone into hypothermia yet. It does need to be warmed up. You do need to warm the animal up, and especially the trunk. That's the really most important part. Get that trunk of the body warmed up. And you can apply warm compresses to the animal to keep it warm. Not hot, but warm compresses. And check the pupils. Check the mucous membranes and see what color they are. Check to see if the animal is exhibiting any signs of shock, which means that it'll be cool limbs to the touch, and their body temperature will be lowered. Their heart will kind of race and then go weak, and they'll become lethargic. And their heart rate will really decrease on a hypothermia. It will, instead of speeding up like it will on a heat stroke, it's going to really slow down with the hypothermia. So you check for their pulse, and it's really going to slow down. And for most animals, not all animals, but most of them, you're going to check their pulse rate at the femoral artery, which is the artery that runs down from the leg that where it meets the body wall.
On the back leg.
On the back leg, either one.
Right.
And then with a frostbite issue, you're going to notice it, because the skin's going to be pale or blue. There's going to be lots of lacks of sensitivity to the area. And with something like that, you do not want to make it any worse by rubbing or applying pressure. You want to just go ahead and spray that area with warm water. And again, just keep the trunk of that animal warm, and you can go ahead and get them to the vet. I mean, if they're going into an extreme case of hypothermia with frostbite, they are going to need to be seen. They might even have to have a limb removed, obviously, if it's a frostbite situation where it's damaged the ears, the tail, the feet, the pads of the feet.
Wow. And how long did that take? Let's say, I remember a few years ago there was a whippet who was missing from an airline somewhere, I think JFK Airport. And I don't know if they ever found the dog. How long can, let's say, a dog like a whippet, a short-haired dog that doesn't have a lot of meat on it, how long can a dog like that, you know, survive in 20, 30-degree temperatures?
Well, with an animal that's got the shorter hair and an animal that's, you know, more of the, I guess you would say, the thinner skin, the thinner, bones, it can happen pretty quickly. So depending on the temperature, and that's why it is important to get them, you know, out of the cold as quickly as possible and get that trunk warmed up. I think animals that are outdoor animals, again, like I said, you really have to be very particular and careful with them. Make sure that you keep, you know, some kind of, you know, jacket on them. Make sure you, put some hay in the doghouse. Put extra bedding, blankets. Just make sure that you're keeping those animals warm and realizing that it's very, very cold out there for you. It's going to also affect them as well. They don't have... even though they can regulate their body temperature some, in extreme temperature cases where you're getting down, you know, the teens and below, you know, it's going to be very, very hard for them to regulate that body temperature. And once it starts to drop, it's going to continue dropping.
Okay. All right, Janae, thank you so much. I'm going to ask you I need you about for 2 minutes in the next segment. If you can just hang on for a quick moment. We are going to be right back with For the Love of Dogs.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Today's amazing guest is going to stay with us another segment or portion thereof, Janae Bowen from DogE911.com. Janae, we were talking a little bit during the break about, even with the cold weather, New Jersey people, we get it. We have our dogs. If a dog is outside, it's in a heated area. A lot of people, though, keep their dogs tied, not so much in New Jersey, but in places that don't get quite as frigid winters like even Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina. But when it's 30 degrees or 20 degrees out and you're keeping a dog in a crate, how does that differ from if the dog is allowed to kind of run around a little bit? Does it help if the dog is able to move to get itself warmed up versus sitting in a crate where it's kind of stuck?
Yeah, it does. It does, Janice. I mean, them being able to move around, and you know, obviously, if they're kind of moving, if they're keeping their circulation going, that is going to help them. So it is important, but they do, you know, obviously if they have some place to get into where they want to have shelter, then you'd want to have your blankets and your padding and your hay and anything to keep that area warm. You were asking me before in the other segment about time, and it really depends on the animal. It kind of depends on the size of the animal. It kind of depends on the age of the animal, the health of the animal, you know, if they've hit any kind of organ issues. Anything like that is going to affect on how quick the temperatures would affect them. Not just the coat and the length of the coat and stuff, just because, you know, an older animal is going to be a little bit more susceptible to things because they're aging. It's just like an older person. So, just keeping an eye on those things and remembering those things and knowing that an older animal is, you know, needs to be taken care of a little bit more, just like you would an older person. Being a little bit more sensitive to that, because again, like I said, if the body temperature starts to drop, it's going to continue to drop, and so they need to be warmed up. They need to be have that body temperature regulated. And so I do think, you know, having some where they can get around and move around is important. If you want, bring them in the house some, or at least have a place where they can go into, like a kennel or the garage or somewhere else where, you know, they can be and have another place to get them out of that cold weather, especially as it starts to drop really lower and lower. More in the evening.
Well, that's awesome. You know, the other thing, which is kind of interesting, we just lost her a couple of months ago, but our Tara, who was 15 and a half, and we had, I mean, literally to drag her in. She would be outside, and we're in New Jersey, and this dog was 15 years old last winter. And we would let her out in the morning to go potty, and she would come back. And when you started to go towards her to take her, to bring her in the house, she'd run away from you. She wanted to stay outside. And you know, she wasn't heavy. She was 15 years old. And, I mean, everybody here who works at the farm at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals, we would, like, be laughing, like, Ka, come in out of the cold. And, I mean, she'd run, and she loved it, but... I mean, this is a short-haired dog. Is it okay if the animal wants to stay out in the cold, or do we have to say at some point, yo, we're getting senile here, sweetheart, come in from the cold?
Well, I mean, that could be part of it. But, I mean, some animals do like being outside. I mean, I've had animals before that do, and that's okay as long as you're doing the other things. You're keeping an eye on them. You're keeping their area where they are and where they can go into warm. You're providing them the excess area where they can go into, like I said, an alternative, and you're keeping an eye on those hypothermia symptoms and watching. And if you're doing all those things and you're providing the alternatives for them, then, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's okay, because some animals do want to be outdoors and they do want to be outside. Some animals do live outside anyway. I mean, some animals are more prone to colder temperatures. The Newfoundlands, for example, like to be in colder temperatures. There's some animals that, you know, they don't seem to be affected by it as much. So as long as you're doing all those other things and you're keeping an eye on the animal, then you're doing what you need to be doing.
Awesome. So don't feed your chihuahua a ton of turkey and then stick him outside for his nap. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, Janae, we thank you so much. Janae Bowen from Doggy911. She's going to post some things on our Facebook account for the Love a Dog. Also on... our other Tuesday show, From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, the United Canine Professionals website. We're going to put some of her helpful tips. And everybody, just join me in thanking Janae. She really, really had something else that she needed to do, and we're going to let her go early. But thank you so much, Janae, for joining
us. Thank you. Thank you for having us. I'm sorry I couldn't stay longer. I'm happy to come back on any time and provide any more information. And you know, just take care of your pets. You know, I know everybody loves them, and they depend on us. So just, you know, keep an eye out things for them. And that's, you know, what I'm trying to do is just help people be and help their animals more and give them more care and more information that can help keep them healthier longer. So thank you for having me. And please look up the website, doge911.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Janae. So we're going to be continuing here with For the Love of Dog. We have great things that Janae is showing us and telling us. And one of the things I think that's really important is that everybody understand that It's up to you to make the judgment call for your dog. People will say to us at United Canine Professionals, they'll say, well, but my dog loves turkey or my dog loves onions. But it doesn't matter if your dog loves it. It matters if it's good for your dog. You got to think, you know, dogs, it's like children. You know, little kids, they'll say, oh, but I love candy. Well, good. Feed your child candy and fast food and see how the child behaves and see how the child feels. So, you know, you got to be kind of smart for your dog, same way you'd be smart for your kid. So one of the things we're going to continue on with is holiday safety. Now, some people have dogs who are bolters. They bolt out the door as quickly as they can. And unfortunately, what that means is typically that dogs get out. And just today, there was somebody who called, and her dog, which is a very large dog, happened to bolt out the door. And unfortunately, there was a person there, and the dog bit the person pretty badly. Now, it was a large breed dog. I'm not going to tell you what breed because it doesn't matter, but it was a very large dog. Well, what happens now is we have issues because you as an owner have to be aware. We just finished with Halloween. We have all these, you know, Thanksgiving, and then we have Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, or whatever they're saying it is now. We have all the different holidays. So you've got to be aware for your dog to make sure that your dogs understand the rule at the front door not to run out. And we are going to go over that rule for holiday safety in a very few minutes. So stay tuned for the Love a Dog.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. And another holiday shout out to the inimitable future Dr. Jody Joseph, who hopefully is eating some turkey leftovers. Well, wait a minute. She's a vegetarian. So I don't think she's eating that, but she's probably eating the sweet potatoes. Enjoy them, Jody. Well, one of the important things with the holiday is a behavioral issue. Two things, actually. Number one, dogs running out the door when your guests come in. And number two is dogs begging from you and your guests at the table. So, you know, we totally want to make sure that we set our dogs up for success, not for failure. So, how do we set our dog up for success? Well, first of all, at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, we make sure that we teach the humans, because if the humans can be changed, then the dog can be changed. But if we can't change the owner, we can't change the dog. So what do you do when you've got a dog who runs out and bolts out the door, and here you've got people coming over for Thanksgiving, you've got people coming over for the holiday? What do you do? Well, if you imagine that your front door is the front door that leads to a big giant cavern, and if the dog goes out the front door, it falls into this giant abyss. And if that abyss winds up and the abyss is right there, you know, you can have a problem because your dog might fall into it. And that's really what you have to do. You have to imagine, instead of thinking that, oh, my dog's going to get out and whatever it's going to do, imagine instead thinking like a dog and thinking that, gee, you know, I don't want the dog to run out because I'm really worried. What's going to happen if the dog, you know, runs out and gets out? Well, it, not only could it, God forbid, get hit by a car, but depending on your dog and your dog's issues, you know, what could happen, unfortunately, the dog could bite someone, the dog could bite another dog, or the dog could get attacked by another animal. So we want to make sure that we stand in front of the door and don't wait till Thanksgiving Eve or Christmas Eve when people are coming over. Practice it now. Practice right now. If you're worried about family coming over to Christmas for the holidays at your house, well, guess what? You've got almost a month. So practice. Now, what you want to do is you want to face the dog. And remember, we've spoken about the rule kind of claiming things and backing the dog away. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to back the dog away like you're trying to push the dog. It's just respecting what the dog is thinking by showing him that you're the leader. So if you can actually back the dog backward from the door with the door closed, so you don't have to worry about the dog running away, back the dog away from the door, much as you would back a child away from the street. You would face the dog and take a couple of steps towards the dog and then back up again. And then you might have to do it 4, 5, 6, 7 times, depending on what breed you have. I did have a very pretty yellowish gold dog as a client once. It took 52 times, and we had another one of the same breed actually surpass that. But it doesn't matter how many times it takes for the dog to get it. What matters is that you have to keep teaching the dog until the dog gets it. So don't get angry at your dog, but back the dog away. Now, once the dog, you don't have to tell him to sit or do anything, just back him away. And as soon as you realize that, oh, the dog isn't coming forward now, that means the dog understands. Now, if the dog walks away, great. If the dog sits down, great. If the dog lies down, great. But don't talk to the dog. All you have to do is tell the dog with your body to back away like mama dog would do, pushing the puppies away. So once you get that practice and now the dog respects that area, now you can start opening the door. You can open the door with no distraction so that when you back the dog away, you're now backing it away from an open door. Now, I know a couple of you guys out there are already starting like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I can't back my dog away and leave the door open. Well, for those people, that's why they make leashes. You can always put a leash on the dog. It doesn't have to be snug. It doesn't have to be tight. But you can. That's where you can use your extendable, retractable leashes. And you can put that leash either under a big, heavy piece of furniture, tie it to your banister, whatever, inside, so that if you do let the dog get out accidentally, the dog is still on a leash. Remember, we got to change the owner's energy. If I can't change the owner's energy, how can I change the dog's energy? So once the dog understands that, now you're going to open the door. You're going to pretend like you're going to go get your mail or you're waving to the neighbor. And then adding to it is then when somebody is coming to you, let's say like a Chinese food delivery or UPS or FedEx, and those people would be ringing the doorbell. Here's a really important thing. I always say danger rings doorbells. It's stranger danger. When you come in your door, you don't ring the bell. When your kids come in the door, they don't ring the bell. When your mom or dad or friends come over who are there all the time, they don't ring the bell. Aha! Dogs have evolved this incredible, amazing ability to know when it is a dangerous person or dangerous situation. And it's called danger rings doorbells. So when you come home, make sure you ring the bell sometimes. Your kids come through the front door. Don't always go through the garage. Go into a different area and ring the bell. Knock on the door so that the dog gets used to the fact that it's not always a person who presents a danger or a threat, but instead, sometimes it's mom, sometimes it's dad. So that's a really important thing to do. And then once your dog realizes that, oh, you've got their back and you're taking care of them, you're protecting the door, then the dog will just come up and alert you a couple of times with a little bark. Once a dog barks a few times and then you go there, the dog will learn and it will actually back away from the door without you even telling it. So if you start doing this by Christmas or before, your dog is going to understand that it doesn't need to be protecting you. It doesn't need to be taking care of you, but rather that you will be taking care of it. That's the best part. And that's when your dog will suddenly kind of turn into this great dog and you say, oh my gosh, I can have guests over. And my dog is totally cool with it. Think about it. If we can't make that dog understand in his own language that you are taking care of him, any good dog should step up and say, okay, I'll try to take care of mom or dad because I love mom and dad. So it's very, very important. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about begging at the table. And I'm not talking about your husband begging for more cranberry sauce. We're talking about dogs. We're talking about dogs who won't be rude, and you can have people over, and they will just love it and say, what a wonderfully behaved dog you have. So stay tuned for the next section of For the Love of Dog.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear conscience pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub-fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, before the break, we were talking about how to keep your dog back from the door. And it works. And it's amazing because people say, that's never going to work. It does work because guess what? This is dog language. This is dog and ease, as I call it. And dog and ease is the language dogs speak. So you are learning Dogenese right now. So when people ask you how many languages you speak, you can add this one. And if it's only English, you can tell people, I speak 2 languages. It's very simple. Now, what do you do when you're sitting at the Thanksgiving table, you're eating your leftovers? Obviously, what Janae Bowen from Doggy911, who was here earlier today, said, don't give your dog too much turkey. Got too much L-tryptophan. And it's not really good for your dog. So don't think that because it's okay for you, it's okay for him. Your dog is going to eat it no matter what it is because you give it to them and their dog. But, you know, it might not be good for your dog. We don't want to get our dog sick or, God forbid, worse. Well, what do you do when your dog begs at the table? How many people out there, raise your hand if you're listening in the car or if you're sitting at your computer, raise your hand, raise your hand. And let us know how many people, I see hands going across America, how many people have their dogs begging? And you look and you go, oh, poor Fluffy, he's hungry. Well, guess what? Your kids would rather eat at fast food restaurants than eat your home-cooked, you know, rotisserie chicken. So, you know, dogs and kids don't really have always the best options and the best judgment. So if you can think about it for a minute, think like a dog. Think that whatever you're doing, your dog is going to follow you because he's a dog. If your dog is following what you say, and you say that something is no good, your dog is going to follow it. But think about a 3-year-old kid that, and some of you may have 3-year-old kids right now, and you're at the supermarket grocery store, you're the checkout line, and there's all that impulse food. Well, it's not really food, it's gum and candy and junk. Why do you think they put it right there? Because that's why you buy it. Because little 3-year-old Johnny throws a tantrum, unless he maybe has something like autism, in which case, hey, anyway, it's a 3-year-old. But regardless, if you listen to your child. Your child's screaming, Mommy, I want the Hershey bar. Mommy, 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 Mommy. If you give in, even if you give in, and the worse, the longer it goes, and then you give in, when you give in because you were worried, uh-oh, I don't want everybody to think I'm mistreating my child, I'll just let them have it. So let's say it takes 30 seconds the first time. So your dog, or your child, spends 30 seconds, and finally you say, okay, fine, you can have it. Well, how long does he have to keep having a meltdown for, or whining, or giving you the look next time? If you stop, and now let's say you say, okay, I'm not going to let him do it. Well, now after 45 seconds, you let him have it. And then after, we're up to 10 minutes now. So how long does your child or your dog have to have a meltdown or beg until you finally say, okay, fine. You've got to be consistent. We hear that word all the time with dogs. Be consistent. Well, it's not being insistent. It's being consistent. It's not a matter of insisting that the dog do something. It's a matter of just being consistent with what you have decided. So if you are going to give your dog food from the table, it's not that it's table food. It's the location of the food. You can give carrots to your dog. You can give sweet potatoes to your dog, a little bit of brisket. You want to watch out for things that have a lot of onions in them because onions can be toxic for dogs. But if you're actually able to make sure that the things that are you're giving your dog are good things, then you won't have to worry about it. Now, here's a problem. If you're giving your dog table food, which can be kibble given from the table, your dog is going to be begging. For as long as your dog is begging and you give in, your dog wins. Now, if your dog wins, that means that you lose. So it's very, very important that you not give in. So is it okay to give the dog human food? Absolutely. It's just not okay to give it from the table. And it's important that Grandma and Uncle Ed do not give the dog table food or anything from the table either. What I think is a great idea, especially at the holidays, is have a little basket or a little bowl on the table, and everybody can say, oh, I'm saving this for the dog. Oh, I'm saving this for the dog. I'm saving the string beans. I'm saving the sweet potatoes. I'm saving this piece of brisket. I'm saving these whatever things that we wanted to eat. So if you can actually do it that way, where everybody can feel like they are able to give the dog something, just not at that time, but they're able to give the dog something, then guess what? Then they're not going to be feeding Fluffy under the table because they feel like they're able to give that. And that's a great thing for kids, too. The kids, when they come home and the obedience through obesity people, where you take the dog and you just kind of bribe it into doing everything. It doesn't really learn behavior, but you just keep bribing it and bribing it and bribing it until, you know, it's the smartest dog in the world, but it's also the fattest dog in the world, which obviously is not good for animals to be overweight, like it is not good for humans to be overweight. So what you do is, same thing. The kids say, well, I want to give Fluffy a treat. Get a little Ziploc bag, put the approved treats or meat or whatever it is in that Ziploc bag, and label it for the day. This is Monday's treat. Start letting the children look at the treats and the amount of what's in the treat so that they're able to judge. And this way they can say, oh, I want to give Fluffy treats later on today, so I'm not going to give Fluffy all the treats now. Let them start learning about portion control, not only for the dog, but for themselves. You know, it's great to eat one donut, honey. It's not okay to eat eight donuts. And the same thing with the dog. But he wants it. But he likes it. But, honey, it's not good for him. So try that with a little bowl on the table your next time you have all the guests over, and have them give that to him. And then you can put that in his food. If there's too much for one time, then you might have little treats for your dog for about a week. But the main thing to remember is to give your dog healthy things that are good for dogs. Remember, no corn, no wheat, no soy, no BHA, no BHT, no byproducts, no propylene glycol, no ethoxyquin. There are so many things that are in dog food and different kind of snacks and treats that even though it's in the dog's food and it's a manufacturer, manufacturers just want to make money. So, you know, you've got to be smart for your dog. You got to make sure that you give your dog good things and that you tell your guests to give your dog good things. Don't let somebody give your dog a wheat-containing, corn-containing, BHA and BHT-containing treat. You tell them, you can give him this treat because this is something that's good for him. and help teach people. Grapefruit, sweet potatoes, carrots, things like that are wonderful. Green beans are great. And I hope everybody enjoyed having Janae Bowen from Doggy 911 on today. And if we are looking for people all over the United States to join our UnitedK9Professionals.com team, as well as Merlin's Kids Training Service Dogs and Therapy Dogs and Cancer Detection Dogs. So we're doing all kinds of things. If you have a New Year's resolution coming up to do something fun and enjoyable that you're going to love, well, contact us at UnitedK9Professionals.com. You can call us at 855, the number 4, K9Pros, 1-855-4 Canine Pros, or Merlin's Kids at 855. Hi, Wyatt. Well, thank you all for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you again on For the Love of Dogs.